Okay. So I wanted to talk tonight a little bit about the Nachash and the current events. And there is a fascinating pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah says, first, that Vayush, that's last pasuk in Perek Beis and Breishis, Vayushneim Arumim V'lo Yisposhoshu, both man and his wife, Adam and Chava, were naked and they were not embarrassed. And then the next pasuk says afterwards, Vanochash Haya Arum Mikol Chayas Hasodeh. The snake was more cunning than any other of the animals of the field. So, Shem Shapol Hirsch, of course, picks up on the juxtaposition of the two forms of Arum, on one being nakedness and the other being cunning. And he says it's somewhat difficult to link the two of them. In fact, he suggests that the word Arum, which means cunning, comes from the word Araim, which means to pile up. And I'll come back to that in a minute. Whereas the word Arum, which means naked, comes from the word Or, which means skin or flesh. And, of course, the skin is revealed when one is naked. So, but let's go back to the first one, where it says, the second one, Anochash Haya Arum, and how Rav Shlomo Zalman Falesh explains that. The word Arum, meaning cunning, he says, means that a person puts together a lot of individual deeds, a lot of individual things which make up his master plan in order to achieve a distant goal. In other words, a cunning person does things in small increments, but he piles them up one against the other, on top of each other, until the arima, the pile, is high enough to achieve his goal. And the way he puts it is, one speck of sand does not have much significance, but many specks of sand become a very great pile. And he says that this is the word Aram is close also to the word Haram. Haram with a ches, which means to gather in one's net, to catch something. Haram in classic Hebrew means a net. Now, when it comes to nakedness, he says, you know, again, it's hard to connect that. As he says, it's more likely it comes from the word or for skin. But then he finishes up as follows. He says, a basic instruction, which all these things give us, the piling, the nakedness, and the cunning, etc., is to be sensitive to stimuli which come from the outside. The outer world does not affect us when we're dead, very deeply asleep. But when we wake up, and the word for evil for waking up is air, again, a related word, when we are mitorerim, we wake up, then we get our senses back. Now, he says the focal point of our senses is the skin. The skin is what feels on its entire surface what goes on the outside world. And so with the skin, we take in the very fine impressions, even the finest movements from the outside. So when a person's neshama is asleep, it goes back, retreats into itself. When a person wakes up, it goes back to its perimeter, to its skin. And therefore, what happens is a person has a sensitivity with his skin to all those to very fine movements, to very fine impressions. And the cunning of a person is made up of very fine and small nuances. Now, we have a very strange thing with Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov Avinu comes and talks to Rachel and to Leah, he says, Lavan is a Ramai, he's treacherous, Achivani Baramos. I could be his brother in treachery. So the question is, obviously, what does it mean? You're Yaakov Avinu. You're not supposed to be treacherous. That's not what you're here for. On the contrary, you're supposed to work against treachery. So why is he saying that he himself could also be treacherous? It's a very difficult concept. So the idea, I think, is explained by Gemara Chulin. The Gemara Chulin says that we say, Adam uvehema toshia Hashem. the man and animal, you will save HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara Kulin says, Adam and Behema, Elu Bnei Adam Shem Arumim Bedas. These are people who are cunning in their intellect. Umesimim Atagrema, and they make themselves like animals. Now, what does it mean? It means that they have a great pile of wisdom within them, in a positive sense. And it means that on the other hand, that even with that great pile of wisdom, internally, externally, they conduct themselves in very simple ways, like an animal. With no greater display of cunning or of sophistication than an animal. Why? Of course, because of humility. That's the primary reason. But there are other reasons as well. We'll come to them in a couple of minutes. But the point I want to make now is that arma, to do something with arma, means to pay attention to very small nuances and details. And everything a person does in this world, they have to pay attention to the details, the finer points. It's not the great deeds which make a person, it's the fine points and regard for the finer or the less obvious ramifications of what they're doing on which a person has to place the greater emphasis. Now, with this in mind, so there's a very interesting passage from Rabbi Yerucham, the Mir Mashgiach, on this pasuk of Anachos Shaya Arum. And he says that a few things. He says, we see this process of how the Nachash proceeds, how the Eight Saharas proceeds. This is the same process. First, there has to be a point of departure. The point of departure, it says, the Nachash, Rashi says in the process, Ra Shem Arumim, he saw that they were naked. The second aspect of the Eight Sahara is, Rashi says the Nachash was Marbed Devarim. He spoke at great length. We see the Yetzer Hara is patient and is willing to go the distance as long as it takes. And of course, it's not just patience, but it's also a tactic to confuse, to speak a lot, and to sow all sorts of questions and doubts. And then he says there's a third principle. And he says like this. He said, I want to give you a mushroom for this. An analogy. He says, I was once sick with some disease of the gallbladder, I guess. And when he was by the doctor for the first time, the doctor forbade him to eat any eggs. And that made upon him a very great impression. He was worried and he concerned. I have nothing to eat anymore. But he says, but now, when I'm already accustomed to it, I see that there is very much one can eat even without eggs. And it's not so bad. And even without eggs, one can live very, very well. What is that? So the nature of a human being is to amplify things as if the entire world is ruined because of them. A person has a minor problem, a minor issue. A person's tendency is to amplify it to an extraordinary degree. And he says that's the fundamental principle of the Yetzer Hara. And then he says that this is what people who are non-religious say about us, that how can you possibly live according to the Torah? Everything is forbidden. The pig is forbidden. Milk and meat is forbidden. Worms are forbidden. Bugs are forbidden. We're warred against all this. What do we have left to eat? But that's the Yetzer Hara. And that's why the Torah says, the Chazal say, one of the Avos Rabbi Nosson, that Adam HaRishon was responsible for the sin. How so? Because he told Chava that they're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and also not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. It was not just that they're not allowed to eat, but also not allowed to touch. And Hashem never said that. Hashem just said you're not allowed to eat. And it says that the Nachash then pushed Chava to the tree and had her touch the tree. And she saw that she touched the tree and nothing happened. So then Nachash said, so just like nothing happened in that respect, nothing is going to happen when you eat from the tree either. So Chazal say that he should have told her, this is my personal chumrah, which I'm telling you. And he should not have imposed it upon her. And if he didn't want to impose upon her, he should have made it clear that he was. which, of course, take an issue. And from here, Chazal tell us the Yisoid, a fundamental principle, that one is not supposed to be machmir on something unless one makes it clear that it's a chumrah and not halacha. And if a person doesn't make it clear that it's a chumrah and not halacha, then it could overturn the entire world, as what happened in Gan Eden. And then, so the Rabbi Yerucham goes into this. He says, he explains this poor point. He says, Rashi puts it like this. Again, it's from other seven nothing. She added on to the command. Therefore, she came to a detract from it. And that's why it's that's why it says, don't ever add to Hashem's words unless you to make it clear. Now, so says Yerucham, I'll tell you, this is in the Shir, obviously, it's reported verbatim. He said, I'll tell you a great secret because I love you very much. He says, the Chovos Avovos explains, talks about, one of the great Rishonim, talks about the concept of adding on to mitzvahs. He says, it's not proper to add stam, all sorts of fences, gedorim, asyogim, and barriers. And even though they are fences and barriers that don't come into the prohibition of Baal Tosif, you're not hanging them on as mitzvahs in the Torah. You're saying that this is a personal or a temporary geder or siyag. Nevertheless, you see, the Chovos Avovos doesn't like this whole concept of adding on. And he says only for tzaddikim and chassidim it's appropriate. And he says that only a person who feels that Torah is not a burden on himself can add. And if not, on the contrary, that which he's adding onto the Torah is going to make the Torah upon him like a burden. And then he's much more in danger of, quote, removing the entire Torah from himself. Chazal were very afraid of this, that Torah should not be a burden on a person. And that's what Chazal say, that you should not, against the concept of nedarim, of taking upon oneself additional obligations, it's not enough for that which the Torah forbade you. Why do you don't add any more in it? And the adding on here was from the Darkei Hayetzer, the ways of the Yetzirah, in getting Chava to sin. So what Rabbi Yerucham is saying here is an amazing idea, which is that a person is not supposed to accept upon themselves chumras unless those chumras are going to be things which make a person feel Torah is a better and more wonderful thing. He says 9 times out of 10, it's the exact opposite. The chumras are going to make a person feel that Torah is not such a good thing. Now, of course, this has to do with Rabbi Yerucham being a member of the Muslim movement, and the Muslim movement holds that the primary purpose of our existence in the world is to work on our midos and kochos and nefesh, not to be machmir and halacha necessarily. But we should subscribe to that school of thought. So what comes out of that is that it's not just on an individual basis, of course, but also on a global social construct, which is that there has to be a baseline, which is a significant baseline, not just a bidyavid baseline, but above that, everything a person does, every small nuance has to be questioned. Is this part of the what's going to add or going to detract? And most people don't make this cheshbon. Now, not only that, this is a very important point because I fall prey to this all the time. Reb Shlomo Volbin, the Mashgiach of Ber Yaakov, Ali Shur, he writes that one of the greatest tools of the Yetzer Hara is the notion of frumkeit. He says frumkeit is one of the words, this is really Alter from Kelm, says this, a couple generations back, that frumkeit is a very bad word. Now, of course, when I read this the first time, it struck me as very, very strange. How could frumkeit be such a bad thing? Frumkeit seems to be very positive. So Yerucham says a very powerful idea. He says, frumkeit is a natural drive within the human being which has nothing to do with Avodas Hashem. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Torah. It's your personal natural tendency and drive, which means that a person can have religious fervor for many things. A person can have religious fervor for the Torah mitzvahs. A person has religious fervor for football. A person has religious fervor for violence. A person has religious fervor for money. A person can have religious fervor for all sorts of licentious behavior. A religious fervor which is not intellectually grounded is not avodas Hashem. It's avodas atzmo. It's worshiping oneself. Now, that's when a person, let's say a person is machmir on something. So sometimes a person will say, well, I get a thrill out of being machmir. In other words, I feel better about myself when I'm machmir, or when I accept an additional parameter, than when I don't. So that also is not avodas Hashem. What you're feeling is a feeling of fulfillment from that drive within yourself. And again, I'm talking about myself. What I feel is a fulfillment within myself from having fed my yetzer for religious fervor. And that has nothing to do with avodas Hashem. It has to do with me feeling better about myself. Now, that means, obviously, that I am falling prey to gaiva, to haughtiness, to arrogance, to self-conceit. And a person can do things, obviously, in their avodas Hashem, which they think are for avodas Hashem, but really have nothing to do with that. They all have to do with one's self-conceit and one's own full personal sense of temporary satisfaction. What Rabbi Yerucham is saying is that eventually that's going to become so burdensome, and we see this a lot of times with people who become Bali Tshuva who go too far. When they go too far, then it bounces back, and it bounces back all the way out. Because at some point, that thrill goes away, it becomes a burden, and then people are pushed in the other direction. Now, when we talk about people like the people who are in Ramat Beit Shemesh and places like that, so who make all these protests and demonstrations and exhibition of at least verbal violence, so obviously there is an adrenaline rush when a person does a thing like that, which is very powerful and makes you feel. I can see it in myself. I would feel, here I am doing something profound and meaningful and exhilarating. And it's only if a person takes stock intellectually and dispassionately and objectively that a person can start realizing whether a person with their great fervor to do what they're doing is causing a Chilul Hashem or a Kiddush Hashem. And very often the behavior which gives you your religious thrill is causing a Chilul Hashem in the other direction, which means that in the grand balance and scheme of things, you have lost much more than you gained. Now, the only reason people don't think that way is because people don't think. People emote much more quickly than they actually think. And it's interesting because the Nachash, we're told by most sources say, and this is a hard concept for us to get, most sources say that the Nachash did not have free will. He didn't have free will. But even though whether he's a real serpent or he's a metaphor, which is something maybe we'll discuss next time, whatever he is, he didn't have free will. So the question is, what's going on if he doesn't have free will? So the answer is obviously that it's not an act of will to want to, be jealous of somebody, and therefore want to cause another person to fall. You know, Chazal say that the Nachash doesn't get any hanah from what he's doing. Doesn't get any pleasure from biting and from stinging. And Chazal say that's like Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is the same thing. You get no benefit. No, and then nevertheless you do it. So the obvious question is, what does it mean? When I talk Lashon Hara, I get a great thrill out of talking Lashon Hara. It's very enjoyable to talk Lashon Hara. So what does it mean that a person doesn't get benefit from talking Lashon Hara? It means that I'm not getting a tangible benefit which could be pursued as a result of rational thought. This is not something which is a benefit which comes from an act of will. It's purely instinctual, and it's from the more base instincts and the one which the Nachash exemplifies. It's one in which one enjoys, and again, there's a very well-known German word for this psychological thrill, which is called Schadenfreude, rejoice in somebody else's loss, which is not, the Pasuk is telling us, an act of will. It's a Yetzer Hara, which a person has to then try and eradicate and overcome. But we all know that this is one of the most powerful Yetzer Haras. In fact, the Siddur Otzer Atziro says that when we say Achetzer Chatanu Lefanecha B'sinas Chinam on Yom Kippur, the reason we say this is because everybody hates everybody else, and worst of all, he says, are the Talmidei Chachamim. How is that? Because if I see you get a prize, so I'm jealous of that prize. I might not say anything. I might even pretend that I'm happy. I might even think inside that I'm happy, but very many people, the Siddur Otzer says, really are actually jealous. And on the contrary, when they see somebody else stumble and fall, who they do, even somebody they like, certainly somebody they dislike, but even somebody they like, they're happy. Why? So you should be sad. You certainly shouldn't be happy. So that's a form of sinas chinam. So this means that for a person who doesn't work on themselves, doesn't actually have the capacity to be a person who is an Oyev Yisrael. It's very easy to be an Oyev Yisrael in theory, to speak in great abstract and grandiose terms about loving all Jews. But it gets down to actual people, it's not so easy to do, as we know very well. But it requires a tremendous degree of dedication, which certainly most people struggle with, and a certain segment, obviously, of society in Israel has decided not to even struggle with, but just to ignore and not work on at all. Now, this is the antithesis of what Chazal tells us. One of the midos shebohem Torah niknes, one of the 48 midos with which the Torah is acquired, is no se ba'ol im chavero. No se ba'ol im chavero. What does that mean to carry the yoke together with one's friend? It means that I get into the mindset of your burden, and I take on that same burden within myself. I forget which Rebbe it was about. Maybe it was about the Baal Tanya. They say that after every interview he had with one of his followers, who had a tzara, he had to change shirts. And there was always fresh shirts on call because he got so much involved in the anguish and pain that he himself started crying, shedding tears, and started getting sweating as a result of the physical pain and anguish he felt when somebody came into him with such a travail or a difficulty. That's no se ba'olim chavero. And the truth is, we know this from psychology, that no se ba'olim chavero, even if you're not able to solve another person's problem, the fact that you're willing to listen to that person and deal with that person and recognize and validate that other person's emotions, that in and of itself is a form of therapy, and that in and of itself is a positive to the other person, that in and of itself is a no se ba'olim chavero. So that's something which it's very easy, again, to do in abstract, but it's very hard to do in practice, and to the point that many people just don't bother. Really, it's not pleasant and not easy, so therefore the easier thing is just not to do it. Now, I don't want to keep people very long, but there's a very important point which we have to make, which is that whenever we see something like this, we see that there are people who are Mechal Hashem Shemayim, who cause a terrible, terrible, terrible impression to be made on the world in terms of what Torah does to a person, in terms of what mitzvahs do to a person. The Chazal tell us, Lo nidno mitzvahs el tzarifen es abrios. Mitzvahs are given to refine us. If we don't become more refined, that means that our mitzvahs are not being done right. If a person does a mitzvah lishma, that person should become a more refined person. Person has
results. Does it mean you're right? I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Right?
I didn't understand that. That doesn't mean you're right.
That doesn't mean you're right.
Yeah, that's what
if
I heard, right?
Let me repeat it again. If a person does mitzvahs and does not become a more refined person, that means that they were not doing the mitzvahs properly.
You mean if they don't become more refined in doing the mitzvah?
In their character. Not in doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a tool which God, mitzvahs are tools which God gives us in order to refine our character. That's the whole purpose of mitzvahs. Learning Torah has a different purpose. Learning Torah is it's supposed to impact on the intellect in other ways besides making a person more refined. But mitzvahs are meant to refine character. There are different schools of thought as to how they work, whether they work by infusing a kedusha on you, whether they work by educating you to certain values, whether they work by behavior modification. There are many different ways in which it's possible to theorize as to how mitzvahs make you a more refined person. But that's what the purpose of mitzvahs is, to make a person more refined. So a person who doesn't become more refined, if a person can actually, as a result of a mitzvah, spit at somebody else, what they think is a mitzvah, spit at somebody else, or start to scaring people in some way, shape, or form, then obviously that person is not doing the mitzvahs for the right reasons, for the right purpose, and is not really on the right derech, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be on in this world. So, but the thing is like this. None of us can go then and fix these people in Beit Shemesh, wherever they are. Certainly, we're in Chutz La'aretz. We don't, those of us in Chutz La'aretz, which I think is everybody on this call, are not going to go there and do anything about it directly. And if we did, we'd just get lost in the melee too. But we, for this, we have to look within ourselves. And I'm talking about, again, myself, because I have just as many character flaws as anybody else, if not more. So a person has to look within himself and see, how does their behavior reflect something in me? If they are able to take the Torah and add on to it in ways which are inappropriate, which detract from their midos, so what am I doing in ways which are inappropriate, not necessarily in adding on to the Torah, but are detracting from my midos? If they are doing things which cause Echil Hashem because they have a lack of concept of Nosei Bolim Chavero, they're incapable of seeing the other person's perspective, so then I have to work on my perception of another person's perspective. You know, it's a fascinating piece of the Alter from Slabodka. The Alter from Slabodka says, there's the mitzvah of being Mesameach Chasan Mekala. He says, the mitzvah of being Mesameach Chasan Mekala is a fascinating one because at the same time a person is being Mesameach Chasan Mekala, a person has to be concerned not just with their simcha, but with the entirety of their being. And really a person has to be, at the same time as a Sameach, them thinking about how I can further the Avodas Hashem. And there he says, it's very hard a mitzvah, Mesameach Chasan Mekala, because most people, when they're Mesameach Chasan Mekala, when they go to a chasna, so they tune out anything which doesn't have to do with the simcha. He says, the Alter from Slabodka, on the highest madrega, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is concerned with us across the board on all facets at all times, so too, we really have to be concerned with all facets of another person at all times. Our focus is supposed to be on that other person and what he needs and what's good for him. And therefore, it could be at the same time as being Mesameach Chasan Mekala, you're being very depressed because you're thinking about other things in which the Chasan Mekala could use a lot of improvement and a lot of help. But he says, the mitzvah is to know that and to overcome it in order to cause them simcha. But a person's array of concern for another person is the primary and overrides all other considerations which a person has in this world. So what happened with the Nachash is the Nachash focused instinctively on himself, obviously, and there was no concept of, again, it might have been without Bechira, but at the same time, this instinctively gave him cunning. It, again, according to the Baal Machshava, he didn't have free will. He had cunning, but not free will. And you very often, the cunning, the genius which we apply to something which we are trying to accomplish is not a result of our free will. It's not a result of our desire to be better or to worse out. It's coming from some deep, from deep dark instincts. Now, there's a famous verse which is quoted from Rabbi Yitzchak from Vorka, one of the great Hasidic Rebbes. The one Yuma says that the Nachash was cursed. And what was one of his curses? That anywhere he goes, he finds food. Goes up to, it says that the Nachash eats dirt. Well, I want to deal with that in a different shiur, not today, what that means. But if, everywhere he goes, he finds his food. So the question is obviously, what is the, why is that a curse? He gets his food all the time without any difficulty. So he says, the curse is that human beings were made contingent on each other in getting their food in order that they have to interact with each other. And if they have to interact with each other, they have to work on Kiyamati Olam Chesed Ibane, that the world is built on Chesed. He has always his food in order that he should have no connection whatsoever and should stay distant from everybody else. And that makes him worse than anybody. The fact that he doesn't need anybody and therefore doesn't interact with other people, not as a taker, not as a giver. And, of course, the person is supposed to be a giver, but the taking is a tool to generate the giving. The fact that the Nachash was given his food was taking him out completely. And the truth is that the person who's a Baal Taiva, the Goel Chazal, there's a positive, I believe it's a Mishle, the Taiva Yivakesh Nifrad. A person is who quests after Taiva, he's separate. Normally you think Taiva, desire, means that you are want to connect to something, but it's not. What it means is you want to take things away and take them into yourself. And really, it's Taiva is not a giving like Chesed and Ahava, but it's a taking, drawing into myself as opposed to giving to others. And again, this is something which is another Chilul Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm mystified as to why, how Eretz Yisrael has developed the way it's developed, but the general attitude there in a lot of segments of society is, let's take what we can get. Let's milk it for all it's worth. And we sometimes have that problem here in Chutz La'aretz too. That's sometimes, very often, when I'm down in the dumps, I'm in economic difficulty, or I feel that the world is unfairly against me, so then I just want to take whatever I can get and try and abscond, so to speak, figuratively with that. And that is the taiva, and that's from the Nachash. Desire for oneself without having actually any sense of giving. Separating oneself, pirut, the separation, which we see wrenching apart Orthodox Jewish society, is fundamentally a Nachash quality. Just to conclude, it says that the Nachash, in order to conquer it, it says, Hu Yishuvcha he gets you in the heel and you crush his head. Nachash gets you by the heel, you have to crush his head. So I believe it's out from Sabaka, which I saw this. He says that it's in order to fight the Yetzirah, you have to figure out what's going on in the head of the Yetzirah. He can get you by your heel. On the contrary, he'll get you where you have no thought, where you're not paying attention at all. The heel is the thickest and coarsest and therefore symbolically the dumbest part of a person. But the way in which you have to deal with him in turn is not to fight on his level. You have to go and find his arma. Find within yourself that cunning which comes not from instinct, that drive, not from deliberate and positive thought, that drive which comes not from deliberate and positive avodas Hashem, and try to identify it, isolate it, and deal with it in a way which in and of itself, cunning. As Yaakov Avinu said, he's going to deal with love and with Ramos. What does it mean? Every nuance to examine how it works positively or negatively in terms of my avodas Hashem, in terms of my refinement of character, in terms of my purpose in this world. And again, there's not much we can do about what happens there except to say that it's horrific, inexcusable, and repulsive, and embarrassing. But what we have to do for ourselves is focus on that. We don't have those libidos to the same degree that they do. We're much more functional. But to the point in which each one of us can refine and elevate that aspect of ourselves, which in some way resembles the dysfunctionality over there. And I'm finished. Any questions?
Nope.
Anybody want to ask anything? Otherwise, we'll call it a night. Okay, so I'm going to stop the recording. Anybody should have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Shabbos.
Shabbos was great.
Shabbos.